All right, guys, you are locked on Falcons. I'm your host, Aaron Freeman. And today I am joined by the Falcoholic himself, Dave Choate, the head honcho at thefalcoholic.com. He's going to talk with us about the Falcons' recently released depth chart, the importance of the preseason, as well as some of the biggest surprises that he has seen so far in Falcons training.
You are Locked On Falcons, your daily Atlanta Falcons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So guys, you know me, I'm Aaron Freeman, been covering the Falcons for many years, formerly at FalcFans.com, RIP, still going strong, however, on Twitter, at FalcFans, and of course, the host of this world-renowned Locked On Falcons podcast, your daily Atlanta Falcons podcast, right here on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. And today's episode features my conversation with Dave Choate, the head honcho over at thefalcoholic.com, which is the SB Nation site for the Atlanta Falcons. Of course, all Falcon fans are very much aware of the Falcoholic, but for the two of you non-Falcon fans that randomly stumbled on today's Locked On Falcons episode, maybe you don't know who Dave is, but you know he's going to be joining us talking about the Falcons depth chart. We'll talk about some of the machinations, I guess you could say, of where certain players are, how valuable the depth chart is. Then we'll move the conversation towards some surprises in camp, you know, players in Dave's mind that are playing above expectations, the players that are playing below expectations based off of where they're headed in camp. And it will, you know, spoiler alert, there will be a Jalen Mayfield conversation, but, you know, don't tune out. You know, Aaron might say some positive things about Jalen Mayfield on a Locked On Falcons podcast. Oh my God. You know, and for you two new listeners, you know, we got a whole long thing with Jalen Mayfield here on Locked On Falcons, but we'll wrap up today's episode talking about, you know, the value of the preseason, whether it's important or not important. We'll talk about the NFL's recent rule changes and talk about taunting and whatnot. So we'll get into all of that on today's episode. But if you want to get more insights into the NFL's rule changes or the value of preseason, of course, you should check out one of the national podcasts here on the Locked On Podcast Network. That is, of course, the Peacock and Williamson podcast, where you can get insights on every team, every game, every move from NFL analyst Brian Peacock and former NFL scout Matt Williamson. Subscribe to the Peacock and Williamson podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. So with that being said, let's jump into this conversation with Dave Choate of The Falcoholic. All right, guys, you are Locked On Falcons. Of course, I'm your host, Aaron Freeman, joined by another illustrious guest. This is The Falcoholic himself. This is Dave Choate, longtime guest, frequent guest here on the Locked On Falcons podcast. And Dave's going to be talking with us about the unofficial depth chart that was dropped by the Falcons on Tuesday. We'll talk about some camp surprises, good and bad, as well as the importance of the preseason. And maybe we will commiserate a little bit on why the NFL's rule changes are stupid. But I won't necessarily put words into Dave's mouth. But Dave, welcome back to the show.
You can put those words in my mouth. That's fine. Yeah, I agree. Good to be back. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. We'll get to the taunting stuff later, but I often tell people, you know, covering the NFL is basically they make a rule change. We all sit here and complain about how stupid it is, but we just sort of accept it and move on. And, you know, it usually is not the end of the world, but it just, they never seem to go with the people's will, I guess, but we'll get into that later in the episode. Let's talk about the news of the day surrounding the Falcons, which is their unofficial depth chart. Dave, when you sort of perused over that depth chart, you know, what sort of stood out to you? Clearly, there is no leeway. This is the exact depth chart. Arthur Smith is a slave to this. His exact preseason lineups will go down based off of this depth chart. So based off of that, Dave, what stood out to you?
Definitely Willie Beavers. That's what stood out to me. Yeah. It's that I loved seeing like the real time reactions to Willie Beavers being the top tackle on the depth chart. I was like, yep, this is it. He's starting the season. There's a nuclear meltdown going on over here. So, but beyond that, I think Arif Hassan at The Athletic said it best, which is something to the effect of these depth charts provide a little bit of a signal, but probably always less than than what you see in camp practices, right? So I think we've probably gotten a truer sense of where this team thinks these guys should go when crunch time actually comes from training camp practices than we're getting from this depth chart, except, again, Willie Beavers, who has been top of the list on both. So, you know, looking at that, you know, the rookies being buried is really the thing that stands out to me. I don't really think Grant is running behind TJ Green. I don't think Kyle Pitts is going to come close to being the third tight end. I don't think, I hope that Jalen Mayfield is not the third string right tackle and so on. So, you know, it feels like it's structured around experience, the idea that these young guys have to earn spot, you know, their spots on the roster. And, you know, there's probably only a few things that stood out to me as being worth maybe pausing and thinking about a little bit more. And, you know, again, Willie Beavers.
Yeah. You know, Willie Beavers' ascendancy up the Falcons depth chart completely has overshadowed, you know, Josh Andrews still getting no starting snaps at left guard, which is the thing that we were all worried about heading into training camp. And, you know, now Willie Beavers gets to overshadow that, and we get to see him presumably start this Friday against the Titans and see how it goes, in large part due to, you know, Caleb McGarry coming back from injury. It's notable that Caleb McGarry already is sort of getting work with the second unit, presumably, which I think seems to throw cold water on the idea that Caleb McGarry's not going to be the week one starter at right tackle. What are your thoughts on sort of that notion?
I would agree with you. I think, you know, my whole thing with McGarry at right tackle was, you know, Mayfield, if he was going to be there, which he has been obviously with McGarry out, which was a little bit of a surprise, but it's been a sustained thing now to the point where I don't really know if Mayfield can force his way in at left guard. I think to your earlier point, that Josh Andrews fear that we all had a little bit earlier, maybe we're just being thrown Willie Beavers so that we won't be as concerned about that, because it looks like it's happening. But I agree that I think I expect McGarry to be atop the depth chart in week one, so long as he's healthy. I don't think it's going to be a particularly difficult battle for him to get there at this point. So it kind of leaves Mayfield in no man's land. I really hoped he was going to find his way into a starting job year one. And, you know, as I said the other day about Mayfield and some of the other rookies, take his lumps, you know, if he had to, but hopefully make him a stronger player in the long term, because he's certainly got the talent. So just knowing that he's likely at this point to be the reserve right tackle if he's not surpassed by Willie Beavers is a little bit troubling, but I think the best case scenario for this team is probably, you know, a healthy McGarry at right tackle. I think he is the best player for the job.
Yeah. You know, and I look at this depth chart, we joke about sort of its accuracy, and in previous years, like, I would often, you know, go through the preseason games with a fine tooth comb to really look at when and which lineups were playing when, first team, second team, all that sort of stuff. I won't really be able to get that to do that this year because I won't be rewatching these preseason games. Shout out to NFL Game Pass for being a jerk. But, you know, I think one of the interesting things to me that stood out when I look at this depth chart, and if it does wind up being relatively accurate, which was not the case often with Dan Quinn, but maybe, you know, Arthur Smith is, you know, from the D. Orlando Ledbetter school of really being intensely into depth charts. But like, when you look at sort of this unit, and particularly looking at the sort of number two unit and seeing some of the names that are sort of being listed as backups, I think it does, you know, players like Christian Blake, players like Chris Slayton, Chris Williamson, are some of the names that kind of stood out to me as guys that were second team guys that I wasn't necessarily expecting to be. And for those guys' sake, I think they're hoping that this depth chart is pretty accurate and those guys could wind up, you know, having a much higher probability of making this final 53-man roster than I think a lot of people initially expected them to. Were there any names like that for you when you looked at this depth chart?
Yeah, Slayton stood out to me because if that is accurate, you know, he's not a name we've heard a lot from camp. Certainly talking to Kevin Knight when he was down there, it was often hard to see the line drills just because they were located behind other players. But Slayton was not somebody who frequently came up. Certainly Williamson did, so a little bit less surprised with that. But if Slayton is really, you know, running ahead of some other guys there, that, you know, it feels like this team probably needs that backup nose tackle that they can trust. And if it's Slayton, then that's a surprise, but maybe a pleasant one. And I think I was a little bit more surprised for this, prepared for this rather, just seeing some of the glowing reports in recent days, but TJ Green sort of being in the mix where he is and getting a little bit of time at corner and safety as well. You know, he was one of those guys that kind of hung on from the last regime, had been on the margins of the roster, and seeing him there and potentially pushing his way into a roster spot is really interesting to me. I've always thought he's a pretty solid player, just waiting for a chance. So maybe this is it. I think we're probably underestimating, you know, all off season, just how open some of the spots on this roster are. So, you know, it's surprising to see some of these guys listed here, but maybe it shouldn't be, because maybe all that lip service for competition isn't lip service after all. You know, I guess we'll find out.
Yeah. And with that being said, you know, you're talking about surprises. We've already touched upon a couple of names, but I want to continue today's conversation here with Dave Choate of the Falcoholic, talking about some of the other surprises that he has witnessed and or heard about, read about, whatever the case may be, for Dave Choate here on Locked On Falcons. And we'll get into that as we continue today's episode. But before we get there, guys, I do want to take note that we only have two more Saturdays without college football. And if you guys want to get geared up for college football, of course, there is a daily podcast devoted to your favorite team and or conference. And you can, of course, check out whether you're Locked On Bulldogs, Locked On LSU, Locked On SEC, Locked On Buckeyes. Of course, you can find them all on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. So BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. BetOnline gives you the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including MLB, NBA, NHL, NFL, NCAA, and all your UFC and MMA action. And there's no time like now to get started at BetOnline. Although UFC 265 and the Summer Olympics are in our rearview window, college football, pro football are just around the corner, and baseball season is, of course, in full swing. And you can track all the action at BetOnline. Get real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine, including Arthur Smith's chances of winning Coach of the Year, Matt Ryan's MVP odds, Kyle Pitts' ability to win Offensive Rookie of the Year, as well as the over-under betting odds on how many yards and touchdowns you'll see from Falcons like Ryan, Ridley, Pitts, Mike Davis, and Russell Gage. To get in on that action, just head over to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today at betonline.ag. Use the promo code LOCKEDON and you'll receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Again, that's promo code LOCKEDON for a 50% welcome bonus. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. So I'm here with Dave Choate of the Falcoholic himself. And we're talking about some of the surprises on the depth chart. But in terms of the camp reports coming out of Flowery Branch, who maybe name a player, if you haven't already named them, that has sort of performed above expectations based off of where you were, you know, 2-3 weeks ago heading into training camp?
I think Ade Ogundeje, you know, he's a guy to me my expectations for him were fairly low for this year. I did not know where he'd slot in. I figured he'd make the roster, but I wasn't expecting him to be, you know, a prominent part of the puzzle along the defensive line at outside linebacker. But, you know, even though Fowler's been out, you know, something that I heard from Kevin, something we've seen a lot from folks who have been at Flowery Branch, is that, you know, he's getting these first team reps. The coaching staff seems to like the work he's doing. So he's already kind of, and I know where he is on the unofficial depth chart. He's, you know, sort of dead last. So maybe that's not panning out. But just the fact that he's been getting those first team snaps and making a name for himself early on here is intriguing to me, because this is not the strongest position group on the roster, as we all know. I think with Fowler here, there's a lot of question marks. So getting him to be a useful part of the rotation right away would be a big deal. I think he's an intriguing guy in terms of upside. So if he's already showing that he can contribute day one, I think that really bodes well for him. So he's been maybe my most pleasant surprise so far.
Yeah, Ogundeje was a player that I kind of expected to be a player that might get active a couple of games this year, but probably would, you know, redshirt this year as an inactive player. Now, that was an expectation before Barkevius Mingo's release. And so I think that move really did open up an opportunity for him. And it seems like from all accounts, he is sort of taking an advantage of that opportunity. But sort of flipping the script, maybe there's a player for you that you had high expectations going into training camp, but, you know, hasn't been generating nearly the amount of buzz, or has been generating a little bit more negative buzz than you necessarily anticipated. Is there a player like that for you?
Yeah, I think that's Jalen Mayfield for me. And again, so much of it's based on expectation, right? It's not really his fault that he's running where he is, but, you know, I was hoping that he would push his way into that starting left guard conversation, certainly ahead of Josh Andrews. You know, he's obviously been playing a lot at right tackle without Caleb McGarry there, so there's really nothing he can do about that. But the fact that he's, you know, clearly probably running behind McGarry for that competition at this point, and again, not to beat this particular horse to death, but behind Willie Beavers, you know, just doesn't bode well for him being a big-time contributor this year. And, you know, I know that he needs some refinement. Certainly he needs some time. But again, I was hoping he would get to learn on the job this year, and it's looking increasingly unlikely that's going to happen. So that to me is a little bit disappointing.
Yeah, I'm very curious about what the Falcons do in this particular preseason game. We'll touch upon that a little bit later. But part of me is wondering if we might see Jalen Mayfield, you know, possibly start the game at left tackle or something like that, because I do wonder if Jake Matthews is going to play. I know Jason Spriggs is dealing with some injuries, recovering from off-season injury sort of thing, is getting some rest days here or there. And so, you know, there's a possibility where the Falcons, and we know Caleb McGarry's not going to play. So it seems like the Falcons are down to four healthy tackles going into this Titans game, or five if you want to count Jake Matthews. But again, I don't expect the Falcons to throw him out there, but maybe they will for a couple of series. But I wonder if we might get to see Jalen Mayfield, you know, get some work at left tackle in addition to getting some of that work at right tackle. And, you know, whether that showcases some more versatility than we thought, even if he's not necessarily going to be the starting left guard like a lot of us thought, you know, maybe that means that he could be a front runner to potentially replace someone like a Matt Gono as the team swing tackle over someone like a Jason Spriggs, who I think most people assume would get the job until, you know, of course, the Willie Beavers ascendancy happened. But what are your thoughts on sort of that? You talk about Mayfield not necessarily winning that left guard spot, but do you feel like there's an opportunity for him elsewhere in this offensive line rotation?
First, I just want to note that the Willie Beavers ascendancy is a novel I would read. So thank you for that. But with Mayfield, yeah, I think that's a really interesting notion. It's something I was turning over in my head a little bit earlier is, you know, I don't recall him playing any left tackle thus far in camp. There may have been a practice he did that I'm forgetting about here, but that would be interesting, getting him kind of into that swing tackle role if the Falcons feel he can handle that. Is certainly, you know, that would be a great sign for him in terms of his versatility, which already if he's playing some right tackle, he was playing some left guard before, I think that's a good sign. But if he can credibly play both tackle spots, you know, that's a perfectly fine role for him this year, because I don't know if we're going to see Matt Gono at all this year. The Falcons have been really curiously quiet about injuries in general and sort of the nature and timelines for all of them. So, you know, at this point, I'm assuming we won't. So I think if that pans out, and it's an interesting notion, and he does end up getting some snaps at left tackle, does a decent job there, certainly I think that would be, it'd be an impressive thing for him to be able to do this year, because I didn't see him sniffing any time at left tackle. And if he can credibly play multiple positions, that sort of works into what Arthur Smith, I think, is looking for from his reserves. We've already seen Drew Dahlman, you know, play more left guard than I think I expected him to this year.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting because, like, you're right. We haven't really heard a lot of sort of tackles switching sides. I just note from previous summers where it was like, if you play right tackle, you're going to play some left tackle in a preseason game. Like, you're going to play both sides of the offensive line because of the value of that swing tackle having to step into the game and be able to play either left or right side. So we'll see whether that occurs for players like Jalen Mayfield as well as some of these other tackles heading into this preseason game. But we'll talk about Dave's thoughts on the value of preseason as we continue today's Locked On Falcons podcast. But before we get there, guys, you know that I and my frequent guests like Dave have you covered on all things Falcons here on Locked On Falcons. But who's got you covered for the rest of sports? That's, of course, host Peter Bukowski of the Locked On Today podcast. Is all the sports news that you need every morning in under 20 minutes. Subscribe to the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Did you guys know that Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar on the market, has 9 delicious flavors? Whether you're a fan of mint brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, double chocolate, salted caramel, coconut, raspberry, orange, or strawberry, there's something for everyone. And you even get the occasional limited time flavor like Rocky Road. You can try them all with a mix box and you can get that healthy snack that tastes just like a candy bar with none of the guilt. Built Bars contain 100% real chocolate. They're soft and easy to chew, but it's not just about their great taste. They're healthy too. They're low in sugar and calories, high in protein and fiber. All you got to do to take advantage of that is head over to the website at built.com. Use the promo code LOCKED15 and you'll get 15% off your first order. That's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. So I'm here with Dave Choate wrapping up our conversation about sort of surprises and differing expectations heading into camp and what we're seeing. But now, you know, it's the first preseason game coming up later this week. I think 48 hours, as most of the people listening to this podcast will be seeing it. You know, Dave, you've been around the block. You've been covering this team just as long as I have, you know, over a decade. And, you know, for me, with the value of preseason, I always look at the preseason as something that is useful when it comes to evaluating individual players, when it comes to forming, you know, whittling 90 players down to 53 guys that you're going to carry into the season. I don't really see the value of the preseason as some sort of predictive way of looking ahead to how a team will perform during the regular season. I think you can look at it for an individual player, but obviously that's one of 11, one of 22 players on a team. So it may or may not necessarily have a big impact. But I'm curious, you know, where are your thoughts given your history and your legacy covering multiple preseasons over the last several years? How do you value it? What is its use in your eyes?
It's definitely not as a predictive tool. This is a boulder I've been pushing up the hill for a decade now, is that, you know, the Falcons can go 0-4 in preseason, and it does not mean that they're going to be an awful football team in the regular season. They may be an awful football team, but it's not because they were terrible in preseason. I have a lot of arguments with my readers over the years about exactly that. You know, just obviously, if they look really, really terrible, if the depth looks like it doesn't even belong out there in a preseason game, that's sometimes a warning sign. Certainly, we've seen the Falcons' weak depth exposed multiple times in recent years, so that is an issue. But I think generally, I agree with you, especially for this year. I think what I'm excited about, certainly more so than watching it, because the preseason, you know, glow of real football tends to wear off pretty quickly, usually by halftime of the first game, mm-hmm. is, you know, it's a big deal this year for this roster. There's a lot of jobs that are seemingly up for grabs. There's only a few starters who are so good that they're absolutely guaranteed starting jobs. You know, we can rattle off the positions, you know, left guard, the outside linebacker groups, really defensive end, all along the defensive line, right tackle technically, even if we expect McGarry to win that. There's a lot of openings, and the guys who historically maybe had some strangleholds on reserve jobs under Dan Quinn, they're either not here or they're not guaranteed anything. I look at Kendall Sheffield, who is somebody the Falcons really pushed as a potential starter, a high upside starter for Dan Quinn his first 2 years here, and now he's somebody that I don't necessarily think is even going to make the roster. So from that perspective, I think the game action is really important. It's going to help these guys get jobs. It's an important way for them to evaluate the roster. But yeah, in terms of like being there for my enjoyment or telling us what this team is going to be as badly as we'd like to know that. It's not really for that.
Yeah, when you were talking about guys that had strangleholds on jobs and won't anymore, while you were saying that, Kendall Sheffield was the player that popped in my brain as you were saying that. So, you know, great minds think alike, or like my whatever the phrase is. I don't know.
Good enough, yeah. Good enough minds, yeah.
Good enough, exactly. So with that being said, let's pivot from the Falcons and let's get to the hot take portion of today's episode. Let's talk about what we talked about at the top, which is the No Fun League, which was trending on Twitter for at least a portion of Tuesday, because, you know, the NFL announced that they are going to make taunting, you know, what is the term that the NFL uses, a point of emphasis or something like that, when it comes to officiating this year. And it pretty much anything where you don't immediately hand the ball to the ref and run back to the huddle or run back to the sideline, I think, based off of what I've heard, is going to be considered taunting. So what are your thoughts on that?
I'm glad you asked. At the most basic level, like, this happens at least once in offseason where I just get incredibly annoyed that this is what the NFL is focused on. And particularly in this case, like, taunting feels like the very last thing that players, fans were asking to be addressed, right? Like, this does not seem like a problem to me that stands out for anybody but potentially the owners, potentially Roger Goodell, who loves to get rid of, you know, things that fans enjoy and that liven up the game, which I would say good taunting is fun. It's fun. I'm sorry, it is. And I think even from an optics standpoint alone, you know, this league is 1 year removed from supposedly doing a lot of soul searching about, you know, the role of race in America and in the NFL. We're knee deep in COVID-19. They still have pockets of players and coaches who are not getting vaccinated, and that's dominating multiple news cycles. And certainly the state of officiating and some of the rules in the NFL should be overhauled, because it hasn't been great for a long time. So, you know, and I know this is just one part of the offseason, but it's just such an incredibly NFL to just focus on this. It doesn't matter. It could not matter less. I'm absolutely sure at some point this year a Falcons player is going to get ejected from a game for taunting when he wasn't really, because that's how this works. We usually bear the brunt of one of these rules at some point. So it's just frustrating that this is viewed as enough of a priority with all the really big priorities the NFL has started to take some action on in the past and then not finished taking action on. So it's typically NFL, but it's impossibly frustrating at the same time.
I couldn't have said it better myself, Dave. I don't really have anything to add to that. It just, like, why is this the hill that the NFL has chosen to die on of the many hills that they could choose to die on? And, you know, it's times like these where I sit here and I wonder, like, is this why people hate Rich McKay? Is this why Falcon fans hate Rich McKay? Because he's on the competition committee. And, you know, I don't know how big a hand the competition committee had in this rule change. I imagine they had at least some partial hand in it. And is this the reason why Falcon fans just, you know, hate Rich McKay? Or is it just basically they still will not let the Bobby Petrino hire go? I don't know. What are your thoughts on that, Dave?
Yeah, I think it's that. I think it's sort of just a cloud of blame over the Falcons, you know, 2007 season. I think McKay is the guy who stuck around, so he's the easiest one to blame. And yeah, I think when people really think about what this what the rules in the NFL are and how they seem to change. Yeah, certainly if they're aware of McKay's presence on that, they're probably not thrilled with that either. So he does seem to be a lightning rod, you know? Like, I some of it I get, certainly, but, like, there was a time over the last couple of off seasons where, like, I think if I had run a poll being like, who's most at fault for the Falcons, you know, many failings, it would have been Rich McKay.
Yeah.
Like, people really don't like that man.
Yeah, you know, like, normally I'm just like, you guys got to let that stuff go. But, you know, if he is one of the people that's, you know, pushing these stupid rule changes, like the roughing the passer, that has got to be the worst penalty now in the NFL. what they rule as roughing the passer nowadays, basically touching the quarterback, breathing on the quarterback, and you're going to get a flag. But, you know, I get it. If Rich McKay has a hand in all these bad rules in the NFL, in the No Fun League, then I understand why he gets the hate that he gets. Then it's arguably deserved, is basically what I'm saying. But, you know, we'll leave it at that, Dave. I appreciate you joining me on today's episode, talking about these various topics. Me sitting here saying myself that don't pay attention to the preseason all that much. Don't pay attention to the depth chart all that much. Everybody would just go, like, oh, Aaron, you're just hateful and bitter. And it's nice to have someone else that is less hateful and less bitter back you up on this thing.
Well, I'm happy to do that. And I'm really not sure there's that much separation between us at this point either, but maybe people are slow to catch on to that. I'll take it.
All right. Yeah. So. We got to keep you in that category, Dave. Just, you know, we can't have you and I occupying the same space. It wouldn't be right.
That's fair. That's fair. We're sort of the yin and yang,
yeah,
so to speak.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Okay. Dave, let the people know what type of content you guys have coming up on the Falcoholic in the coming days and weeks.
Absolutely. So preseason coverage, that's the big one. Obviously, we love to, quote unquote, love to watch the preseason games and give you takeaways on that. So I am really interested to see sort of, as you said earlier, how closely playing time hues to the depth chart and what we can learn from that. So excited about that. We also have a really cool write-up coming on AJ Terrell and his breakout potential from Will McFadden. So look for that, I think, early next week. And yeah, we'll just continue to cover this team in the hopes that Willie Beavers gets the prize he deserves. It's the starting right tackle.
So. There you go. There you go. Willie Beavers. There's always one hero, preseason hero, whether it's Bear Woods or Willie Beavers. You know, Willie Beavers is 2021 version of that.
Absolutely.
All right, guys, there you have it. Dave Choate of The Falcoholic. And I don't know what tomorrow's episode will be. I have an idea of what I want to do tomorrow, but it will largely depend on if anything major happens with the Falcons. At some point, I do want to post the three interviews I had with the three NFC East locked on hosts that the Falcons face early in the season with the Giants, Eagles, and Redskins, or Washington football team, I'm sorry. Still won't get that right. Growing up from Virginia, you know, there'll always be that team to me. But, you know, that's my initial plan. But if something happens with the Falcons, then I'll just punt that another week. I originally planned to post that like 2 weeks ago. And, you know, there was enough Falcons news to keep the content. I was just waiting for like a slow news day to post that. And so part of me kind of hopes that tomorrow will be a slow news day and I'll post it. But if not, then we'll talk about whatever. But to wrap up today's episode, I do want to let you guys know about the Locked On Bets podcast. If you're looking for ways to make some money, to establish a foundation, a floor, as you will, to put a little pocket or a little money in your pocket, I'm sorry, before this regular season kicks off, or maybe you're of the like mind to bet on preseason games. But, you know, the best place to go to get your input on what are the best bets, whether it's football, baseball, basketball, whatever, is, of course, the Locked On Bets podcast hosted by your boy Q. And he's getting insight from handicapping expert Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports every day. Lee's giving you his lock on the day. It's a sure money winner, money earner for you. So subscribe to the Locked On Bets podcast like I do on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Appreciate it, guys. Till then.